You can turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to kind of start where Mary left off last week. 1 Corinthians 15. Seems like a long time ago, last week.
It does.
Well, you know, you had the holidays and all that. Everybody had a good holiday?
Mm-hmm.
Good, good. So 15, and we're going to start in verse 51. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And that change means made different. I just thought about this, that God, you know, he set us up just like in the manifestations to have everything we need to just live this great life. He didn't hold back anything from us. Also, even death, you know. Even if we die, we're still going to come out on top in the end. And what a comfort it is to know that. So I show you a mystery, a secret. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And when it happens, it's going to happen quick. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And then again, that's made different. And then he goes on, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And it's nothing we can do ourselves. God is going to do that. He's going to take care of all of this stuff for us. And then 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And that means gulped up, devoured, destroyed. Death is going to be no more. So, you know, just him telling us that our lives are able to be just lived free and easy and wonderful. Yeah, and even when stuff comes up, we know it's going to just be taken care of by God. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is the victor? Where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through who?
Our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. I got to keep reading here. This is the one I wanted to get to. So therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, and I love that too. It says steadfast, and that steadfast means just to be settled. You know, even in the midst of all this crazy things that happen in the world, we can be settled and unmovable. We can stick with God if we so desire to. And then it says always abounding, and we all know it means superabound, to excel, to be better, and to have enough to spare. So not only does God give us, you know, enough to live and superabound and all this stuff, but he gives us enough to spare so that we can bless each other with it. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, God already blessed us with it, so, but then we get to bless each other with the whole thing too. So it's pretty cool. So, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's pretty cool. And then we all know, let's turn here anyway, Isaiah 26. And you know we're going to go to verse 3, right? It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So if you want peace, what do? We stay our minds on God. And that word stayed, we probably all know, it says to lean upon, to bear up, to establish, to rest. And that's what God wants us to do with him. That's why he's there for us. He wants us to be at great peace, to have rest, and to just lean on him in everything in this life. Not one thing missing, like he said in the manifestations. He's given all so that we can have wonderfulness. And then that word trusted is to be confident and sure and be bold. And with that trust comes peace and great victory. So it would benefit us to put our trust in God rather than to put our trust in the things of the world, because God knows everything. And he's got the great power to take care of anything and everything in our lives. So a great example, we're going to go to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua. Joshua 23, and we're going to read 1 through 11. Great example of God taking care of us, or his people, which passes down to us. Verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age." So this guy Joshua was getting old, but it didn't matter, because God is taking care of him, right? And God takes care of his people. There was, I forget where it is, somewhere in Joshua, that it keeps saying that Joshua was old and stricken in age. And it says it again. I'm like, I guess he wanted them to know that he was old and stricken in age. Verse 2, "And Joshua called for all Israel, and for the elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward." So he's splitting up all this land. And in verse 5, "And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight." The enemy, talking about the enemy. "And ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath what?
Promised
unto you." And, you know, this is Old Testament, and God made deals with these guys, but in our lifetime, God has given us so much more freely. And just like these guys, we don't have to fight for it. We just got to look to him and lean on him. Verse 6, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations. These that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them." So what's God telling them here? Keep your eyes focused on me, not the enemy, not these other gods, but keep steadfast on me. Verse 8, that's what I said. Here it is. "But cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day." So basically, he's telling them, keep on doing what you're doing, and I'm going to take care of you. "For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God." So again, God is going to do for us as we do what he tells us to do. He's going to take care of us. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to move enemies out before us. He's going to move sickness out for us. Anything we need. You know, and you can only pray for stuff according to his word. That's great, because there's plenty in there. You don't really need anything else but what's in his word. So, but I love that. "But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out, driven out them, driven from before you great nations and strong ones. You know, he can do these great things for his people. So we're going to go to, we're going to read a little bit about David. 1 Samuel 17. And, you know, we all know this record, but it's just a great example of being steadfast and unmovable on what God told him to do, what God said he could do, and God backed him up big time. And then, you know, we'll see throughout the reading here that people tried to distract him and people tried to, you know, deter him from what he wanted, what God said he can accomplish, but he kept going. So anyway, let's read it. It'll sound better coming from here than from me. 17, we'll start in 4, verse 4. And we all know this is David and what's the big guy's name?
Goliath.
You know Goliath had a brother?
Four of them.
Yeah, four of them, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think they were as big as him, though. Anyway. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me, and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when, this is the funny part, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And that was a big army, you know. Their army was pretty good size too. And when they heard this one guy say all these things, they were afraid, and they took the huddle. They were afraid. They were dismayed, which means confused and in fear and beaten down, just from this one guy saying all those things. I mean, you know, it's pretty intimidating. But they had an army too, and yet they were still afraid. So let's go down to verse 20. And this is after Jesse told David to go bring his uppity brothers food and stuff. Verse 20, it says, And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went and as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with them, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, who we know, we heard him before. Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, but one thing was different. David heard them. So David, he was going to do what God told him to do. And it goes on.
24.
Verse 24, like Mary said. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Truly to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killed him? They said, we just told you. So anyway, they go on to tell him. And verse 27, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killed him. Now this is interesting here. Verse 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And then David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? But so here's the first part of David getting belittled, talked out of what God is going to eventually tell him to do. And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent him. So now he's like, I want to do this whatever for God. I want to get something done with this giant. And then they said, oh, we better tell the big guy, Saul, and see what he says. Verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, the giant. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth and a man of war from his youth. And David, and then again, someone trying to talk him out of doing God's work, God's will. Verse 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. We all know this, right? He took the sheep and the lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose again against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the army of the living God. So there was a difference. They thought he was just defiling Israel, but David said he's defiling God's people. And David wasn't going to take that. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And we know, the rest of the story, that David, they wanted to put this big armor on him, and he couldn't use it, wasn't good. And it was all physical things, try this armor. David didn't need the physical things. David just needed what God had told him he could do. Let's pick it up in... Where was I? 30.
Mm-hmm. Verse 38.
Yes. So let's go to verse 40. No, sorry. Let's just keep reading. 38, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off, and he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. That was a no-no. David was ready and willing to do God's work. 44, and the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines to this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." And we know the rest of the story. But David was doing it not for his glory, not even for the glory of the Israel, but he was doing it for God's glory. And I want to read, Tessa sent us, or sent Terry this yesterday, but I heard it and I thought it was really good. This is, you know, they got the little cartoon movie now, David, and I guess it's pretty good. But this was part of a song, you said? Mm-hmm. So this is part of the song from the movie, David. "The only thing that I want is to dwell with the Lord. If we don't win today, he is still my reward. So whatever may come, whatever we face, I will not be afraid." And, you know, you put yourself in David's shoes, and he, you know, he was ready to do God's will, no matter how big the giant was or no matter how big the army was. He didn't fold up like the other guys did. He stayed steadfast on what God was going to do for him. And yeah, we can do the same today. Even more so because we have him with us every second of every day. God in Christ in us. You can go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. We know this one. Mm-hmm. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to whose riches?"
His riches.
And that's a good thing, because if it's according to our riches, it wouldn't be too much. "So my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in, in glory, his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And we can, as we stick with God, he can fill us to the brim and overflow us with all our need and all the great comforts of his beautiful power. And then in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. And we'll start there in 31. We've all been here before too. It says here, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And what's the answer to that?
No one,
like the song goes. And then it goes on, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." What power was that? And great power was that. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God that justifieth? Who is he that condemneth? God, is it Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen? Who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? All these great distractions in life, can they separate us? No, not if we keep going to God, not if we stay steadfast with God. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And that's a big no, right? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, I'm ready to do this, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So he covered all the bases of things that are not going to be able to separate us. And all we have to continue to do is stay steadfast with him and look to him and go to him for every single thing in our life.